Jaya Kunj Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giripati Thari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Jaya Radha Madhava Radha Madhava Radhe. Jaya Radha Vrindavan Hari Radha Vrindavan Hari Radhe. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Nam Sankirtan Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Shaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudiraye Sarvatasa Katha Krishna Punya Shavana Kitana Vite so Abhi Abhatrani Vidnoti Suratsatam Nashtapayeshu Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nandagopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namam. So today we will read from Canto 4, chapter 25, the characteristics of King Puranjana, verse number 7. Narada Uvacha Bobo Prajapati Rajan Pashun Pashyatvaya Dure Sapnaptim Jiva Sangam Jiva Sangan Nirgrena Sahasrasha. Narada Uvacha Bobo Prajapati Rajan Pashun Pashyatvaya Dure Vyadvare Sabnaptim Jiva Sangan Nigranena Sahasrasha. Narada Uvacha Bobo Prajapati Rajan Pashun Pashyatvaya Dure Samnaptim Samnatan Jiva Sangan Nigranena Sahasrasha. Narada Uvacha Bobo Prajapati Rajan Pashun Pashyatvaya Dure. Narada Uvacha Bhuvo Prajapati Pashyatvaya Dure Samnaptan Pashyatvaya Dure Samnaptan Samnatipam Jiva Sangan Nigrahena Sahasrasham. Mata Isu Narada Uvacha Bobo Prajapati Rajan Pashun Pashyatvayadvare Pashun Pashyatvayadvare Samnyatitan Jiva Sangan Nikkaninan Sahasrasham. Word to word meaning. Narada Uvacha. The great sage Narada replied, Bho Bho, hello, Prajapati, O ruler of the citizens, Rajan, O king, Pashun, animals, Pashya, please see, Twaya, by you, Advare, in the sacrifice, Samna Pitan, killed, Jiva Sangan, group of animals, Nikranena, without pity, Sahasrasha, in thousands. Translation by Divine Days, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Srila Prabhupada. The great saint Narada said, O ruler of the citizens, my dear king, please see in the sky those animals which you have sacrificed without compassion and without mercy in the sacrificial arena. Purport. Because animal sacrifice is recommended in the Vedas, there are animal sacrifices in almost all religious rituals. However, one should not be satisfied simply by killing animals according to the directions of the scriptures. One should transcend the ritualistic ceremonies and try to understand the actual truth, the purpose of life. Narad Muni wanted to instruct the king about the real purpose of life and evoke a spirit of renunciation in his heart. Knowledge and the spirit of renunciation, jnana vairagya, are the ultimate goal of life. Without knowledge, one cannot become detached from material enjoyment, and without being detached from material enjoyment, one cannot make spiritual advancement. Karmis are generally engaged in sense gratification, and for this, and they are prepared to commit so many sinful activities. Animal sacrifice is but one such sinful activity. Consequently, by his mystic power, Narada Muni showed King Prachini Barishad the dead animals which he had sacrificed. So today we also will discuss on verse number 8. So that also I will read. Translation purport. Translation: all these animals are awaiting your death so that they can avenge the injuries you have inflicted upon them. After you die, they will angrily pierce your body with iron horns. Purport: Narad Muni wanted to draw King Prachini Barishat's attention to the excesses of killing animals in sacrifices. It is said in the Shastras that by killing animals in the sacrifice, one immediately promotes them to human birth. Similarly, by killing their enemies on a battlefield, the Kshatriyas who fight for the right cause are elevated to the heavenly planets after death. In Manu Samhita, it is stated that it is necessary for a king to execute a murderer so that the murderer will not suffer for his criminal actions in his next life. On the basis of such understanding, Narad Muni warns the king that the animals killed in sacrifices by the king await him at his death in order to avenge themselves. Narad Muni is not contradicting himself here. Narad Muni wanted to convince the king that overindulgence in animal sacrifice is risky, because as soon as there is small discrepancy in the execution of such a sacrifice, the slaughtered animal may not be promoted to the human form of life. Consequently, the person performing sacrifice will be responsible for the death of the animal. Just as much as a murderer is responsible for killing another man. When animals are killed in a slaughterhouse, six people connected with the killing are responsible for the murder. The person who gives permission for the killing, the person who kills, the person who helps, the person who purchases the meat, the person who cooks the flesh, and the person who eats it. All become entangled in the killing. Narad Muni wanted to draw the king's attention to this fact. Thus, animal killing is not encouraged even in a sacrifice. Om Agyan Tirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manubhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagra Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakavitamsa He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangihi Rate Vrindavaneshwari Vishbano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So today's topic mainly deals about animal sacrifice, animal killing, meat eating. So this topic is elaborately discussed in Canto 11, Chapter 5. So we'll see some of the purports from this chapter. And then if time permits, we'll see what type of sacrifices can we do, because the month of Kartik is fast approaching. So what can we do so that we can also increase our devotion to the Lord? And in between, we'll see what comes out in the whole discussion. So in the 11th canto, 5th chapter, 11th verse, Shamsa Rishi talks about this. He says, in this material world, the conditioned soul is always inclined to sex, meat eating, and intoxication. Therefore, religious scriptures never actually encourage such activities. Although such scriptural injunctions provide for sex through the sacred marriage, for meat eating through sacrificial offerings, and for intoxication through the acceptance of ritual cups of wine, such ceremonies are meant for the ultimate purpose of renunciation. So, if we see the Vedas, they help us to gradually elevate from our present state to come to the level of bhakti. But at present, we are not in that stage, so it allows us some concessions with restrictions. So, when we do what we like with some restrictions as per the scriptures, then gradually we may be elevated to a stage where we can practice higher devotional services. But what happens in general is we do what we like, but we don't care for the prohibitions. And that is why most of times we see that in the present Kali Yuga, degradation is fast taking place. It was not that meat eating was not done before or other things which was not done before, but it was restricted because of the rules and regulations, the varnashram, dhanam and all. But in today's society, it is so rampant and random. We see in so many purports, at least I have seen yesterday around 25-30 purports, Prabhupada condemned meat eating very heavily. So we'll see some of them. So in purport, Prabhupada writes, those who are not situated in pure Krishna consciousness are always inclined towards material sensation in the form of illicit sex, meat eating and intoxication. They simply desire a party life to eat, drink and to marry. Such materialistic persons are unwilling to give up such a temporary gratification because they are firmly bound up in the bodily concept of life. So one of the major issues why one is addicted to all these things is being addicted to the bodily concept of life. If we think we are this body, if we dwell on it, and if we supply the necessity of body, the necessity or the demands of the body will increase. But if we gradually elevate ourselves to the platform of soul, these tendencies will be curbed. And therefore, if we see, Bhagavad Gita starts, when Krishna starts explaining Arjuna, the first thing he says that we are not this body, we are soul, from 2.13, and he says that in 11 that you are acting like a pandita, but you are not pandit. So first thing he says that we are not his body, we are soul. And from this, he develops this theme in so many chapters from there. So, for us as devotees, it is a prime necessity that we gradually come to the level of soul, slowly and convincingly. Because on the platform of body, it's not feasible, not possible that we can grow in our devotional service. After a certain point, our bodies will not work as usual. The functions will almost stop in so many problems with us in our body at different places. So gradually, we should actually come to the level of soul. Prabhupada further writes, for such persons, there are numerous Vedic injunctions for rituals that bestow material sense pleasure in a regulated manner. The conditioned soul therefore becomes accustomed to indirectly worshipping the Supreme Lord by accepting the austerity of regulated sense situation in obedience to Vedic way of life. So, we may not directly like to worship the Lord, but when we follow some authority like Vedas, what happens is indirectly we are worshipping the Lord by following some of the regulations. And because of following Vedas, following the codes of our religion, gradually, because the Lord is pleased, we gradually develop our consciousness. So here it's written, through purification, the living entity gradually develops a higher taste and becomes directly attracted to the spiritual nature of the Lord. So gradually we are purified, and in this way, we develop gradually. Further, after 3-4 paragraphs, Prabhupada writes, there are injunctions governing the regulated consumption of liquor and meat. Those who are mad after meat eating are instructed to perform Vedic ceremonies by which they are permitted to consume 5 clawed animals, namely the rhinoceros, turtle, rabbit, porcupine, and lizard. So we will think that why these names are given or why they are being allowed to be killed. So we should understand, if the no names of animals are written, people will generally eat anything and everything. So at least to save some species or to save some of the animals, these names are given, that you can eat these animals. And if we see such these animals, they're not very easy to get. Rhinoceros are available here. So there's a difficulty in procuring. There's a difficulty in killing, and there are so many difficulties in between, like Vedic mantras and all. So these are all restrictions. Suppose somebody wants to eat sweet in ashram setup, and he likes sweets like anything. But his health is not good. So what doctors may suggest, that you may eat sweet as much as you like, but before eating the sweet, you eat this salad, you may eat this roti, sabzi, dal, and all these things, and after, the last item should be sweet. So in this way, what the doctors are trying to do is, at least the person, if he's directly allowed to eat sweet, he may eat n number of sweets or rasgullas or anything, but let him feel first all these things which are nutritious and healthy for him, and the last, he may eat sweet. So what happens is, naturally the hunger is gone. So now the only he's eating sweet for the taste of the tongue. Before, there was hunger also and taste of tongue also. So he may eat more than the required quantity. And in this way, the disease may be aggravated more. So if he's not allowed to eat sweet, the disease still be aggravated if he eats sweet at the last. But to a certain limit where he can be cured, there is a possibility that he may recover from that disease. So in this way, if you see, such 5 animals are eaten so that people may eat that meat. In a way, so the obstacles are so much that gradually they may think, why to eat meat if we want to do so much things? Let us stop the meat eating business. So this is the way it is done. So similarly, the consumption of specific liquors is allowed during highly restricted sacrifices performed on specific days of the year at a great expense. So consumption of liquors is allowed, highly restricted sacrifices. So there is a sacrifice done before consumption of liquor, and that also on specific days of the year. So people will wait for that day. On this day I will eat or will drink. So waiting for that day, other days actually saved. And in this way, there is a great expense also. So in this way, other types of drunkenness and cruel animal slaughter is prohibited. One is gradually purified by performing such sacrifices, and he develops a distaste for such foolish activities as meat eating and drinking of liquor. The Vedic rules and regulations that gradually restrict sense gratification are called vidhi. The word niyama refers to injunctions governing activities that human beings ordinarily would not be inclined to perform. So this niyama are injunctions which we will not like to do. Like Prabhupada is given an example, like chanting Gayatri Mantra 3 times a day, every day, or taking bath daily, even in the cold season of winter. So ordinarily we will not perform this act. If you see now also, so many places, not much water is available. And if water is available, not many even think of bathing or something. In places like hostels and so many places, we don't even like to wash clothes. and do so many activities which are necessary for purification. So these injections are given. Then further, Prabhupada writes, although it has been mentioned above that there are injunctions against neglecting one's lawful wife, there is no injunction against totally neglecting meat eating. So one should be having any association with his wife only, which is retired. But there are some injunctions which are against this. But if you see Prabhupada writing that there are no injunctions against totally neglecting meat eating. So if one wants to totally neglect meat eating, there are no injunctions against it. So indirectly, one should actually give up all meat eating because it's considered most abominable. And this concession is given only to the person who are very violent and they will not do without it. And Prabhupada writes further that there is a mantra which is said, Na mamsa bhakshane dosho na madde chanaja maithune pravritti reshe bhutanam nirtistu mahaphala. It may be considered that meat eating, intoxication, sex illness are natural propensities of the conditioned souls, and therefore such persons should not be condemned for such these activities. But unless one gives up such sinful activities, there is no possibility of achieving the actual perfection of life. So the stage of human life starts when he gives up these activities. The bhakti is not yet started, but at least, but unless one gives up such sinful activities, there is no possibility of achieving the actual perfection of life. So this is the base standard. If it's not followed, one can even not start bhakti. So this is what is there here. Or one may start but may not be continuing bhakti for long if one does all these activities. Then Prabhupada further writes about sex also, how it should be done. And there are Vedic instructions, it should be done very frequently. But it's always there so that one doesn't get out of the marriage bed and go outside for some other person. So for that, these injunctions are there. But generally, it is meant so that one gradually gives up. And further, Prabhupada writes, how in Krishna conscious movement, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has told us to give up all these fruitive activities, sacrifices, and chant and hear the glories of Lord. In further purport, in verse number 13 also, generally, the way in which we consume liquor or meat also directs us in our further advancement spiritual life. So generally, Prabhupada writes, according to Vedic injunctions, when wine is offered in sacrifice ceremonies, it is later to be consumed. So how to consume this wine? It is not by drinking. It's by smelling. So wine has to consume by smelling and not by drinking. So this is a Vedic injunction. Similarly, the sacrifice offering of animals is permitted, but it is not that Brahmanas should eat this. It is the Kshatriyas who eat the animal which is slaughtered. So Brahmanas who want to eat this or have this propensity, they will degrade if they do like this. And similarly, Prabhupada writes that religious sex life is permitted only for marriage for begetting children, not for exploiting the body. This is what he writes. And Prabhupada writes further that the Vedas prescribe some sacrifice ritual performance for the satisfaction of Supreme Lord or a particular demigod, but not slaughterhouse. So nowadays, if one wants quick money, very quick money, slaughterhouse is the easiest way, because the animal which is born, you don't have to do much. The animals mate themselves and they are born. For eating of the animals, you don't have to do much. They go outside and eat what is required. What actually is required, you have to just catch the animal and put in the slaughterhouse and just kill it. So if we see according to Artha, so we can get the money very easily by opening slaughterhouses or meat eating. It's very, very easy. And India is number one in even beef export. So we can see it's very easy for Artha. But what type of karma we'll get is not mentioned. It's unmentionable. So Prabhupada further writes, how Buddha avatar came so that people should stop animal sacrifices. He writes, Nindasi yagne vidhe aha shruti jatam sadaye ridaya darshita pashu ghatam keshava dhrita buddha sharira jaye jagdishare. So this is from Jayadev Goswami, his song described that how Buddha came to stop this animal sacrifices, and he told that I reject Vedas just so that people are not encouraged for sacrifices. And now the most important verse is coming, which is related very directly to our verse. Prabhupada quotes today's verse in this purport and connects everything. So we'll try to understand this. The verse says something like this. Yetva anevyam vidho asanta sabda sat abhimanina pashun dhuyanti vishabdha pretya khadyanti te chatan. Translation: those sinful persons who are ignorant of actual religious principles yet consider themselves to be completely pious, without compunction commit violence against innocent animals who are fully trusting in them in their next lives. Such sinful persons will be eaten by the same creatures they have killed in this world. So the problem is, the most important problem is, we are ignorant, but we think that we know everything. And in this way, the religious principles are not known, but we kind of become a pandita and say that this is what is religious principle is. So today, in the age of internet, we can post anything anywhere and nobody asks for pramana, if it's true or false. And this way, anything can become a pramana. Like, once in a class, I was saying that we should read what is prescribed our acharyas. If we want to go to Golok Vrindavan Dham, generally, we can know Ramayana, but we should not regularly read Ramayana, because no acharya has given us commentary on that. Somebody was saying that the current acharyas have written commentary on that and all. So saying that it's okay if we read, there is no problem, but the time we have and the time where we want to reach our goal, it will be difficult to reach our goal if we read these scriptures, because we can learn dharma, but we will not learn prema to the Lord. If we want to go to Golok Vrindavan Dham, what we are concerned is, how are the sakhas of Gopa, of Krishna, like Madhu Mangal or Sridhama, what are their activities? What are the activities of Yashodamai, or what are the activities of the gopis? That is what is our concern if we want to go to Golok Vrindavan Dham. If somebody has no goal like this, they can read any scriptures. It's all right, all perfect. It's not an aprad, or it's not a thing that if we read, there are some problems. But generally, we'll miss our goal. We'll go in a direction which is not required for us after seriously practicing for so many years. So, in this translation, it writes, those sinful persons who are ignorant of actual religious principles yet consider themselves to be completely pious. So to be impious but to consider as pious is a great sin and committing violence. So Prabhupada writes in purport, in this verse we can clearly see the great discrepancies in those persons who do not surrender to Supreme Personality of Godhead and His law. As said in Bhagavatam, Haro Abhaktasya Kuto Mahatuna. Interestingly, Prabhupada quotes this course so many places, and he says, if one is not a devotee of Krishna, one cannot have good qualities. And if we see so many devotees argue against this, that we see that so many people are non-devotees, but they have many good qualities. And against this, we are devotees, but we see that most of times we don't contain these qualities. So when this verse is written, one way to understand is, it's the ultimate perfection of these good qualities. So we may or may not have these good qualities now, but if we perform devotional service gradually, these good qualities will come in us. And the persons who are not having devotional service, even if they have the highest good qualities, the best of good qualities, gradually the good qualities will diminish, and not maybe this life or next life, they will have all the bad qualities and they will go to the path of hell. Because there is no anchor to which these good qualities can be uplifted or can be applied, like which we have as Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. So whenever Vedas talk, whenever the scriptures talk, they talk about the ultimate reality or the ultimate goal, not in the terms of present condition in which, or the process in which we are going through. It's the destination which they are saying, or the destination which they are working on. And in present condition, we may come across many times some conditions where a devotee may act in a way which is abominable, and a non-devotee may act in a way which is very pleasing or good. But ultimately, it will be reversed in few course of time. And we have seen so many examples. Like, generally, we see Brahmanas today. If you see the generation of Brahmanas, they have very good qualities. But today, if we see, they are addicted to all kind of activities, meat eating and consumption of all things. And like this, all the religions we see, in some of the religions, if you see, the forefathers will not even eat onion, garlic or anything also. But the children, if you see, they have gradually gone to a level where they do not follow any regulatory principles and broke all the regulatory principles. So, because there is no anchor, there is no direction of the Lord, gradually if we see generations by generations, first they remove the God and only good qualities remain, because previously we are worshipping the Lord with good qualities, because God is removed, now only good qualities remain. And gradually, because of not worshipping the Lord, so after some time the good qualities also gradually go away. And if you see after the next generation, all bad qualities come, and then there is a havoc. And then Prabhupada writes that how in other Western countries also they boast of the diversity and the cruelty on the animals. So Prabhupada then writes that this creature whose Prabhupada quotes this verse which we read today, that how this animal sacrifices, they will kill us. And then in the next purport also, Prabhupada writes, the conditioned souls become completely bound in affection to their own corpse-like material bodies and their relatives in paraphernalia. In such a proud and foolish condition, the conditioned souls envy other living entities as well as Supreme Personality Godhead Hari, who resides in hearts of all beings. Thus, enviously offering others, the conditioned souls gradually fall down to hell. So it starts with envy of animals, but it will not stop there. What will happen further is, people will kill other men also, and people will not even kill God also, or in a way that there is no God and all. So materialist person expresses the envy of animals by cruelly killing them. Similarly, the conditioned souls become envious of other human beings and the Lord himself who dwells within everyone's body. They express their envy of God by preaching atheistic science of pseudo-philosophy in which they ridicule the fact that everyone is the eternal servant of God. Envious persons express their bitter feelings towards other animals, human beings, by creating wars. So the next stage, if we see that animal killing is going further or meat eating going further, the next stage will be wars, terrorism, cruel governments and cheating business enterprises. So this will gradually come. If the animal killing is going on. There is no second thought on this, and there is no second opinion, because this is what we see now also. Wherever the animal killing was started in the West, today we see there are wars going on, and in India or other countries also, it's gradually increasing. The sinful bodies of such envious persons are just like corpses. Still, envious persons are enamored by the corpse of their material body and become further fascinated by their children and other bodily entities. So such feelings are based on false pride. So this is what about all sacrifices is there. So we have next 40 minutes. So we'd like to discuss more about sacrifice, what we can do. Because this sacrifice is not encouraging us more. We can read about it, we can discuss about it. But the actual sacrifice which we do is Naam sacrifice or holy name sacrifice. So the Kartik month is soon approaching. And from this Sunday, we'll discover Sharad Purnima. So there are different ways of approaching Kartik month or the Punya month. One way is to increase our japa. We can increase our japa, we can increase our book reading. We can do more parikramas and all. But this is what our externals we can do. But Prabhupada says in the NOI, the introduction part, what does he say? Devotional attitude of the advancement Krishna depends upon the attitude of the follower. So basically I think that after some times, what I have heard from senior devotees also and discussed with other devotees also, increasing rounds, increasing different things like doing parikramas and reading and all does not help much if the attitude is not changed from inside. Because suppose one is on a Kanishtha level and he chants 64 rounds or 120 rounds daily also, see, it's Naam Aparad. It's even not Shuddha Naam or even not Namabhas. So gradually he has to come back here only. There is no point that he will be elevated back to Godhead. So what I was thinking was, we can take some sankalpas, some vows, some inner things which we can do, so that gradually our attitude towards devotional service is changed. And in a way, without doing much endeavor on the external part of increasing so many rounds, we should definitely increase rounds. We should definitely do more parikramas in this month and whole year. And it is very beneficial. But we should also work on our inner core attitudes. And I have just gathered some of the sankalpas or some of the mantras which I try sometimes and which we can do, so that it may help us further in our progress of devotional service. So a devotee is one who sees good in others and treats others as would like to treat himself. So one of the things we can do is we can have positive affirmations of this, like what we say is, I am feeling wonderful seeing good in others and treating them as I would like them to treat me. So this is what we can unconsciously or consciously say to ourselves, so that what will happen in due course of time, when things are repeated, it becomes a reality. We may not be at this stage at this point of time, but if we repeat these things again and again to ourselves, gradually it may happen that we may start seeing good in others and treat them in a way we like them to treat us. Second is, I am joyfully expressing gratitude and appreciation daily. So one of the four core pillars of bhakti are to express gratitude and appreciation for the facilities we have received to do devotion service. So when it is done, our bhakti increases very fast. But as we have read in last few classes also, we have heard, and in the purport also, to degrade is very easy. and to go up is very difficult. So if we constantly try to appreciate someone daily or weekly or monthly, some way, we can increase our bhakti very much. Third is, I am relishing to speak sattvic words which uplift self-esteem and confidence of others. So we should be in a sattvic stage, and that is why our eating, our walking, talking, all habits, it should be on that way. So at least we can start speaking some sattvic words which uplift self-esteem and confidence of others. So when we do in the group, what will happen is, if each one speaks sattvic words to uplift self-esteem and confidence of others, it will be very encouraging and in a way uplifting. And in this way, we can all grow together and a sattvic environment can be created, which can help us grow in our devotional space very fast. And then, Prabhupada always says that one's growth or one's progress in devotional space depends on how we can tolerate provoking situations, or what is his reaction to that. So one of the affirmations we can say is, I am remaining calm and tolerant in provoking situations and resolving conflicts with a healthy response. So I remain calm and tolerant in provoking situations. So there may be provocations each and every time, but to remain calm and tolerant, and that doesn't mean we do not resolve conflict. We resolve conflict, but in a healthy, with a healthy response. So this is what we can do. And then acceptance of the things. So the first rule or the first criteria in developing qualities is acceptance. If we cannot accept present conditions, if we cannot accept the devotees whom we are staying with, and if we cannot accept the situations which we are, it will be very difficult for us to progress in devotional service. So one of the affirmations we can have is, I am accepting everyone as they are and caring for them without prejudice, irrespective of their behavior towards me. So behavior may be good, may be bad, we don't know. But what we can do is accept everyone as they are. The next is, if we can accept everyone, then we can go to the next step of forgiving. If we cannot accept what is happening now, we cannot forgive others, because acceptance is the basic criteria where we stand, and then we can understand, oh, he's thinking like this or working like this because of some of the preconceived notions or some of the conditions which may have or something. And we can understand what he's going through, then we can forgive him. So next, maybe I am forgiving others quickly and feeling relaxed. So one is forgiving others, which is very good, but the second thing is feeling relaxed. What happens most of the time when we forgive others, there is a small itch in us, a small thinking that, why have I forgiven others? At least I should have given some punishment so that something must have satisfied. So completely forgiving is not so easy. So this affirmation is, I am forgiving others quickly, and then also feeling relaxed that, oh, I am forgiving, that's gone, finished. Then another is humility. So So this is also very important for us if we want to constantly change. But it doesn't come very easily. So again, one affirmation is, I am practicing to be humble at all times. It's amazing. So one is to practice humility, and one is not to feel very dependent or very proud or any other feelings we should have after doing humility. Because when we think we are humble, generally pride also comes that, oh, how humble I am, see others are not. So then, we should also practice humble. That's why it should be also amazing that, yeah, like if we practice some other things, taking bath with cold water or something, sometimes it may happen that we may not be able to take, and we think that it's amazing, but that amazing part goes away, and then we start with hot water. So it should not happen with this humility. Then the key thing how humility comes is by serving devotees. Because devotees are one who can reprimand us, who can give us feedback and give us so many things. So, the next affirmation can be, I am serving all devotees with a caring attitude. So, serve the devotees with caring attitude so that the care is also there. And if we care for the devotees, naturally there will be feedbacks and we'll be humble. And sometimes we have to forgive. And all these things are connected. And then there's always this inner critic which says, he's speaking big things, ever he's practicing. How can I speak this like? How can I do these things? There are so many things which are going in our mind, left and right. So this critic mind has to be also be trained. So I am training the judgmental voice of my inner critic to be a supportive coach and feeling excellent. So this also can be given. And in this way, there are so many affirmations which you can make. Like I am exercising daily and feeling fit and healthy. Because Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, first health, then sadhana, and then service. So like this, there can be many affirmations. These are a few examples. If someone likes, we can take. And if he doesn't like, we can just keep it aside. Ultimately, we can do whatever helps us and whatever works for us the best to progress in our devotional life. Others can only give us some guidance, some motivation, some torchlight, some uddipan. But ultimately, it is we have to practice, and it is we have to decide what ways can work for us. So these are some of my thoughts, some of my expressions from Prabhupada's purpose and all. If you like, you can take. If you don't like, if you disagree, I am okay with it. Any comments we can have, or we'll just end this class. Thank you very much for your patient listening. Hare Krishna.